This afternoon we're going to think about the Psalm 113. Please listen to the words of this brief psalm as I read them to you. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh a barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Many people describe this as Holy Week. It is, of course, the week approaching Easter. And at Easter time, we remember two most important events. In fact, I dare say that these are the two most important events in the history of the world. On Friday, we think about the death of Christ. We call it Good Friday, and it was good, because on that day we remember the fact that Jesus died for our sins, and yet it was a black day, a day of deep sorrow, as man vented their terrible hatred and cruelty upon the holy, spotless Son of God. And yet it is a good day, because we can only be saved, because Jesus died for sinful men, and Jesus died for me. And then on Sunday we will remember the rising. Christ rose from the dead. Christ sits at the right hand of God today. He is a prince and a saviour. Because he lives, we can live also. It is important that we take time to reflect on these things, not just at Easter, but throughout the year. Too many people have a religious habit for particular seasons. Our Christianity needs to go beyond all of that. This is a Passover psalm, and that is significant where Easter is concerned, because this was the first of six psalms that would have been sung at the time of the Jewish Passover. The Lord Jesus Christ celebrated Passover. He celebrated Passover on the night before he was crucified. Therefore, he would have sung along with his disciples these psalms. And he would have sung the psalm that is before us. Praise ye the Lord. That's how the psalm begins. And this psalm begins with exactly the same words that the previous psalms began with. Praise ye the Lord. This is hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. And so Christ would have began praising his Father. I am deeply moved by that. He would die the most horrible of all deaths. He would be rejected by his Father on account of our sin. He would take upon himself our guilt. He would be crucified. And yet on the night before his suffering, he sang, praise ye the Lord. You see, Christ was holy and absolutely submissive to his Father's will. He was willing to go to that cross for us. And he was content to do so because he knew that a people would be saved through his suffering and through his death. He took pleasure in that. Didn't take pleasure in his pains, but he took pleasure in the fact that a people would be redeemed, that he would become the captain of our salvation. And therefore he could say, praise ye the Lord. Have you taken pleasure in Christ's death from the perspective that you know that he's your Saviour? Have you derived the satisfaction that can come alone from the atonement that our Lord procured? Atonement means to cover sin. If your sin is not covered, it is exposed to the wrath of God, to the curse of God's law. If your sin is unforgiven, then you're guilty. But to put your faith in Christ is to have peace with God. Whenever you experience peace with God, only then can you truly say, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. This psalm has a lot to say to us about salvation. The verse 5 asks a question, a most pertinent question. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Who is like God? Is there any that is equal to God? Are there any beings that can be compared to God? No, not one. He is the great I Am. That means he is unchangeable. That means he is self-sufficient and he is self-existent. We are neither self-sufficient nor are we self-existent. We depend upon God for our food, because it is God that sends the sunshine, that sends the rain. It is God alone that can produce that miracle whereby a little seed can become a harvest. It is God alone that can supply our every needs. We are wholly dependent on Him. And even if you are an atheist, you cannot say that you are self-sufficient because you are dependent upon nature. But as a creationist, and as one who believes that there is a God, I will say to you, if you are an atheist, that if you are depending upon nature, you are depending upon God, because God made nature. God made the rules by which nature is governed. We are not self-sufficient, but God is sufficient within His own nature. We are not self-existent. We depend upon God to give us life. And even if you're an atheist, you depend upon nature to give you life. And you know that at any moment your heart may stop. At any moment you may be thrust out beyond the pale into death. You're not self-existent. You do not keep yourself alive. You do not determine the day of your death. And as a creationist and as one who believes in God, I will say to you that we are not cast adrift upon the waves of time. We are not governed by mere chance. We are governed by a God who controls all things within the palm of His hand. And who is like this being? We are certainly not like God. We cannot compare ourselves to God. Who is like the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? And then we read that this great God, who is eternal, who is unchangeable, who is all-powerful, this great Creator God, we are told in verse 6 that He humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and that are in earth. God stoops down. And that's a picture of Christ. That's what Christ did. He stooped down. He came down in the form of a man. He came down in the form of a man. He came down to suffer the most cruel of all deaths. He came down to the death of the cross. And to the very place of death itself. To the very grave. He humbled Himself. And why did He humble Himself? Why did God condescend in such a way? Verse 7 says, to lift up the poor out of the dust and lift the needy out of the dunghill. We are a needy people. We are a poor people, impoverished on account of our sin. But God lifts us up. He lifts us higher. He lifts us from the grovelling place to which we are resigned to by nature. And He gives us a place, we are told in verse 8, among the princes. He makes us His sons and His daughters. This psalm shows the people that are abandoned. Perhaps you feel abandoned because of your sin, because perhaps you feel yourself to be in a hopeless place, and that's where sin leaves us. But God lifts you up. Even when other people give up on you, God does not give up on you. Because He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. Is that not the message of Easter? And just as He raised His Son from the dead, He can give you new life today, even you. This is the wonderful God that He is. Who is like God that can do such a thing? Verse 9 says, He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. These words were repeated by Hannah. Hannah was a woman who was despised in her household by her community because she could not have children. And to the woman of the East, it was a terrible thing not to be able to have children. And Hannah suffered, but she prayed to God. God gave her a son, and his name was Samuel. God heard her prayer, and God removed her shame. God can remove the burden of your sin. He can remove the shame of your sin. He can remove the guilt of your sin. He can do what nothing else can do, what no one else can do, because He sent His Son to die for you. Therefore we can say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. There's hope for you in Christ today. Please remember that. I thank you so much for listening.